Here's Charlene Steinkamp.
Are you in a financial crisis? Your Lord Jesus Christ has the answers for you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you have allowed me to be a teacher of the Word of God. I thank you and I worship you for who you are in Christ. Lord, I just pray that this special person that has this teaching in their hands will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will come to know you as a powerful, awesome, mighty God who can calm the storms, who can turn the darkness into light. Lord, I know that when you have marriage problems, many times the marriage problems are due to financial problems, due to a financial crisis may have in their life. So, Lord, I just pray that you will touch this teaching. You will anoint me, touch me, to make me speak only the words that you want me to speak, Lord Jesus. That you will speak and teach your children, Lord, what you want them to learn throughout the Word of God. Lord, what would we do without you? I just praise you and thank you that you are going to go touch this special one. Open their spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear the truth, and the truth will set them free. Lord Jesus, I pray that they will come to know you as their provider, as their protector, as their deliverer, and their defender. Lord, we thank you that you are all that we need. Lord Jesus, I know that when I was going through a divorce, that the finances were almost impossible. They seemed impossible. They looked impossible. The mountain was staring at me every day, 24 hours a day. But Lord, you came through and you showed me you were my spouse and you were going to protect me and help me in ways that I could never imagine. So Lord, I pray that you will just touch this person to give them hope and encouragement and show them that you are the only way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Are you in a financial crisis? Your Lord Jesus Christ has the answers for you. Regardless of the dark cloud that is over your head, Jesus Christ is wanting to hold you up with his righteous right hand. Seek his face and his way as you seek God's way in your financial pressure, and he will help you in ways that you can never begin to imagine. Psalm 23, which is a psalm that you and I know, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I pray that you can replay that over and over again. Maybe you went out and did things you shouldn't have done or didn't realize about the credit cards, whatever it is. You were in a financial crisis. How do I pay the bills? So many people that we work with are dealing with that question every day. How do I pay the bills? One thing that I will tell you that you can do from the very beginning of this teaching is you take those bills and you put them on your Bible, or put your Bible down on your table and then put your bills on top of the Bible, and then you lay your hands on top of the bills and your Bible and say, "Lord, unless you do a miracle, I cannot pay these bills. So Lord, I give these bills to you and I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for spending and having the bills that I should not have had. Forgive me for the mistakes that I've made in my marriage and in my finances. But Lord, I choose to turn my life over to you. I choose to follow you. Lord, I want you to help me get out of financial debt. I want you to help me to get out of this financial crisis. And I'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name." That needs to be your prayer today. You need to turn to the Lord and say, "Unless I have faith in you, Lord God, there is no way that I'm going to be able to get through this crisis." One of my favorite scriptures is Mark 11:22. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain," what is your mountain? Your mountain is a mountain of bills, of financial stress. So if you say to this mountain of bills, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So there is a condition to this prayer. It says, say to this mountain to go throw yourself into the sea, but it also says you need to forgive. Forgive whomever you may be upset with or mad at or angry at. And that can be your spouse, it could be the other person, or it could be a family member or somebody at your place of employment. Regardless of who it is, you need to forgive them. That's one of the conditions of this scripture. Let me start at the beginning of this teaching. How do I pay the bills? Marriage problems start by many different tricks from the enemy. Do you have a problem? Whatever your problem is, Jesus Christ has the answer. Do you need to know what to do about something? Then read the Word of God. The answer is between Genesis and Revelation. Regardless of the problem, regardless of what you're seeking to know, Jesus Christ and the Bible, the Holy Word, will give you the answer. Adultery is not the only reason for separation and divorce. There are many men and women whose spouse do not have control of their tongue or their temper or temptations. There are spouses that have addictions to pornography, alcohol, or drugs. There are couples who get married and they've never discussed creating a budget. Because of this, they're now in a financial crisis, so they have marriage problems. What we're saying is Jesus can help you. He can show you. The Holy Spirit can guide and direct your footsteps and help you get out of this problem. How do I pay the bills? You may be alone and you may be already separated or divorced. Your Lord God is saying, I want to help you get your life back in order. Do you know of someone that, due to depression or stress, may have run from the responsibilities of being a provider, a spouse, and a parent? You and I must know what the Word of God says. Your Lord will give you a scripture for all your questions. Do you remember your wedding day? You may have had a very beautiful, expensive wedding, or you may have said your wedding vows on a beach. May I share the wedding vows that Bob and I said to each other back in 1966? I, Charlene, take thee, Bob, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, and thereto I pledge thee my faith. As I was praying to the Lord regarding this teaching, the Lord reminded me that at the very beginning of our marriage, we were talking about finances or money. Our wedding vows had for richer or poorer. Think about the wedding vows that Bob and I said to each other. We were saying to each other that regardless of any circumstance, we were going to stay together till death do us part. If only pastors and counselors would bring out the wedding vows and read them to the couples in their office before they agree that divorce is the only option. Your wedding day was the very beginning of you and your spouse starting to build your lives together. You may have found out very quickly that you two were raised very differently and had different values. We were not as frugal in part of our married life as we should have been. That was one of the problems in our marriage, the finances. When Lori got married with Scott, she had an adjustment. They had to learn to adjust to each other's values they came from because they were both raised differently. And because they are both Christians, they turned to the Lord and now they both have the best of both worlds and have learned God's principles in the Word of God and how to handle their finances. You as a couple have to find out how each of you would work out different issues. Did you know that according to different articles, the number one reason couples fight is due to money? You have to understand that it takes a lot of money to live. Do you know the stats for people in the United States who are in a financial crisis? They are in a financial crisis, and it is going to cause a tremendous stress on their marriage. What were your goals and dreams when you got married? Did you want to start a family soon, or did you both work or go to school to save up money to buy a house? Regardless of all the different scenarios that I could mention, you and your spouse started your life together deciding what you could afford and what you would buy from week to week. Often couples do not understand about debt or the consequences of charge cards. They may have gotten themselves into a financial crisis very quickly by fixing up their new apartment or home. May I share from 1 Timothy chapter 6, where the Bible teaches us about contentment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Every couple will make mistakes in their marriage, and hopefully you will learn from your mistakes without destroying your marriage, as Jesus Christ has a solution to all of your problems. Many young couples have financial problems due to wanting to fix up their homes and have everything that their parents have after many years of marriage. Bob and I learned a lot about finances from stories of our parents or grandparents who made mistakes, saving both of us a lot of heartache. I know that there are couples that are our age that are in financial crisis right now due to possibly educating your children and the cost of weddings, so that you have gotten yourself into a financial crisis where you're getting ready to consider retiring in the next few years. And that has put a pressure onto your marriage. Your spouse is wanting to run away from that responsibility and wants to look at having fun and happiness in their life. I believe very strongly the reason so many Christians are falling into sin is that they are immature Christians who do not know the Word of God or have a personal daily relationship with their Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you that have had the enemy come against you with your marriage problems and with financial problems have a great calling. You or your spouse have a great calling on your life, and God has called you to a much higher purpose in your life. And because of it, the enemy has come in with another trick or scheme by having a crisis with your finances. I want to say at the beginning of this teaching, there is not any way that I can do justice in this one teaching tape of how do I pay my bills, but I want to tell you that the answer is in the Word of God. As we start talking about finances and the crisis of having destruction hit your home with marriage problems, with financial problems, having legal problems possibly. Some of you are having to pay tremendous legal costs. Some of you are having your spouse divorce you and you have no control. If I can take you back and have you go to Job chapter 1 and 2 and read those two chapters. Job was a godly man. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then skip over and read the last chapter of Job. I'm going to give you hope and encouragement. You may feel like you're a Job right today, but may you remember that even though Job went through trials and tribulations, as we all have gone through trials and tribulations when we have marriage problems, when we get divorced, when you are trying to live as a single parent with children and bills and an income that is cut possibly 50%, you are going to have crises. But I want to tell you that God is with you. He is with you and he is hearing your prayers and your cries, but we need to get everything in proper alignment. This is why I did the teaching. We hear so many people talk about a financial stress that I want to make sure that you know the Word of God and that you can turn to the Word of God and understand that we can stand on the promises of our Lord God. In Job chapter 42, it says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted.'" And then we skip down to verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to his friends, "I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." Then in verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the troubles the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. I wanted to read to you verses in the last chapter of Job to get you started to see that regardless of the circumstances that you're going through right now, regardless of the financial crisis that you're in, you're saying every day, "How do I pay my bills?" That you can say, "Lord, Satan came against Job, but Lord, you turned it around to good." I believe one of the promises that you can claim and stand on is one that I do not use a lot, but I wanted to share it for certain tonight. And it's, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." I know that I know God is going to turn all of your trials, your tribulations, your financial crisis around to good. Today, I challenge you to hold your Bible in your hand and have a problem. The answer is in God's holy word. Have you made a commitment to sell out your Lord Jesus forever? If not, do so now. Let's continue to read the rest of 1 Timothy chapter 6. "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith." And I guess that's the subtitle of this teaching tonight. We need to fight the good fight of the faith. We need to stand on the Word of God and say, "Lord, you said, and I'm standing, and I'm believing, and I know that you can turn my finances around." I could tell you all the details of our separation, our divorce, of cashing in on my retirement plan to pay the bills. Bob and I agreed in our divorce, I would get the house if I kept the bills. So I cashed in my retirement plan that I had. I'm not going to tell you all the details of all the appliances and all the things that break down in your house, as you already know that. I had my mother and father-in-law holding a second mortgage that in the midst of the time that Bob and I were divorced, that they called up one day and said, "You know, Charlene, we really want to get our money out of that house now. We don't want to hold the second mortgage." I can tell you that I would have never been approved for the amount of money that we owed them. God came through for me. on every one of my financial crises by me turning to him and saying, Lord, you're my spouse. I need help. What are you going to do? What do I need to do? I'm standing on the word of God. I had to become a woman wise with finances. And you are going to have to do the same thing. You are going to have to be frugal like you've never been before. You know what it teaches us? It teaches us that maybe when we are married with our spouse, that we're too extravagant. Maybe we spend money too easily. Because when you go into a financial crisis, you learn that you can live on a lot less and you can eat a lot differently and you can turn off the air conditioner and you can still make it and you can still praise the Lord in the midst of it. And that's what I want to teach you today. Are you ready every day to fight the good fight of faith? Beware of the enemy who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy your family. He's trying to destroy not only your spouse, but he'll go after your children. And he's gone after your marriage, and he's going after your finances. We need to know that there is an enemy that is out there. If you've listened to any of our teachings, you know that we say this is not flesh and blood that's coming against you right now. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And let's just flip over to John 10:10, and let me read this scripture also for you, because we have so many new people, and we want them to know the Word of God and understand it in every teaching. In John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But listen to this last part of John 10:10. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And in the King James, it says, "have it abundantly." That is what you need to stand on. Yes, the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has come and given us life so we can have life abundantly. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. The Lord is going to come through. The Lord is going to help you through every one of your trials and tribulations. There are many, many teachings in the Bible that I cannot discuss all on this teaching about money, but I strongly recommend that you would get your Bible out and look up under money, look up the word finances, and learn what Jesus taught about money throughout the Bible. He discussed it regularly throughout his teaching. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples about the parable of the shrewd manager. Also in Matthew 25, he gives us the parable of the talents. Let me share the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the first 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord wants you to be wise with your money." Can you imagine that in the Bible, it talks about the bank and interest? And I think that we often think that the Bible is not pertinent to today, but it is. It is going to get you through every crisis that you will have, regardless if it's your children, if it's pornography, if it's adultery, or if it's financial crisis. The Lord has the answers in the Word of God. Often we do not learn this until it's too late. We need to find out that we need to be wise with our money. That is what the Lord has had to teach Bob and I in our years of marriage. And He's teaching that to you today. May the Lord give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to do that. Where are you with your finances? May I strongly urge you to do a personal Bible study on money and finances and tithing that will teach you by the Word of God how to be a good steward of what the Lord gives you to manage. Now let me ask you a very personal question. Do you tithe? I know you may be thinking, "Charlene, I do not have enough money to pay my bills. How can I tithe? How can I tithe?" May I share a very important scripture that is really one of the secrets that the Lord teaches us in His Word. I hope you know the book of Malachi. There are 3 very important scriptures in this book that I'm going to mention. One is regarding marriage and divorce, and one is regarding finances, and one is regarding children. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 7, which talks about robbing God. "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." This is the only scripture in the Bible that the Lord says, "Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have enough room for it." Imagine that promise. Imagine that scripture. Dear Stander, stand on this promise and be faithful in tithing. The little that you have, it doesn't matter about the amount, but tithe. How do we receive a blessing from God? We tithe. That is one of the secrets that we need to know in the Word of God. Many people don't realize after you accept Jesus Christ as Savior that we need to be obedient to the Lord in many different ways. One important decision that Bob and I made right away when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior was baptism. Another principle that we learned right after that was about tithing and giving back to God 1/10 of our income. When you hear that, you say, "Whoa, I can't afford that. I can't afford to be a Christian." I can tell you that from all the years of experience since we started tithing at the very beginning of our Christian walk, the Lord has never failed us. God commands His children to give a tithe, but you cannot outgive God. God rewards His children for obedience.
You've been listening to Charlene Steinkamp. You can write the Steinkamps at P.O. Box 10548, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33061. The Steinkamps also invite you to visit their website at rejoiceministries.org.